Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Great to have you with us. And it's going to shape up to be a lovely day today. Started off in the mid 50s, going to be about 80. So, hey, summer's here. Shh. Let's enjoy spring a little bit longer. Joining us now by phone, we have Santa Rosa County Sheriff Chief Deputy Shane Tucker. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, good morning, Andrew. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Anything happen over the weekend? Anything we don't already know about?
I don't think we have anything that would be incredibly newsworthy. I would like to take an opportunity just to remind folks that we still have a couple of people that were filed as missing persons last month, Michael Bishop and Cynthia Hoover. We still haven't heard from them or located them. They both have friends and loved ones that are really desperate to find out where they're at and what's happened to them. So if anybody knows anything, I would just urge people to call us at 983-1190 and then let us know what we can do.
Yeah, outstanding. And by the way, I know it doesn't make for great breaking of the news, but I love it when there's no crimes to report or no, out of the ordinary, unusual crimes to report, because I would always rather have peace and calm and civil order than news in regards to the police agencies. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, it had come up recently, and you and I hadn't had a chance to talk about it, is the cost of living increase or cost of living adjustment to pay that had been put on by the county commission. 2.5%, I think, across the board, including for your agency. But whereas other organizations were taking it as a straight across the board pay raise, you guys are doing something a little bit different with that inside the sheriff's office because you're working to decompress the pay gap. Is that right?
That is. And you know, that's a lot of people really probably don't understand exactly what that is. What we did here is we kind of restructured our pay scale. So it wasn't in and of itself a pay increase. Now, for most employees, most sworn employees, it did result in some type of pay increase. But for some, those particularly that have 2 years or less here, they didn't see a pay increase. And the point of this is to try to decompress or make more fair the pay scale. Over decades of just increasing the starting pay, what we started doing was encroaching on people's salaries that had been here for a while. So, for instance, you might have somebody that had less than a year on making what somebody that had 6 or 7 years. So what we've done is kind of expand that a little bit to make, number one, to make the pay scale a little bit more fair for seniority purposes, but also we've made an increase in steps from line level to supervisor, so there's a little bit more of a incentive for people to step up and take leadership roles.
Yeah, this is one of the things that I know the sheriff has talked about several different times, but it's a good point, is that it's one thing to say that it's not fair to the people who have been here longer for them to be making something closer to what a new person is making, but that's only part of the problem. Part of the challenge is you always have to be replacing the people who are either retiring or moving into other things, and you have to continually be pushing people up the scale of responsibility. But if you're not increasing pay for them, then, if I can just go do my shift and go home as opposed to being a sergeant or a lieutenant who's responsible for other people, what's my incentive to be a leader if you're not going to pay for it, right?
Absolutely. And, unfortunately, we had kind of worked ourselves into a pigeonhole where someone, you could take two employees, they could start, if they started the exact same day, with both have 15 years on, one is a lieutenant, one is a deputy. The lieutenant could be responsible for 65, 70 people. The deputy only responsible for working his or her calls, and they both could be making the exact same pay. And while we do want to have an avenue for people who don't necessarily want to be leaders. We want to have an avenue for them to advance some as well. It should not be at the same rate as somebody who steps up and takes on major leadership roles.
And do the deputies and the, you know, the command staff, I mean, does everybody get this concept that the 2.5% is going to not be just an across the board, that it's really being used to, you know, re-separate some of these categories and make it a little bit more incentivized and also fair? I mean, did they seem to get that concept, or are they irked that they're not all getting a 2.5% raise?
The deputies that I have spoke to personally are overwhelmingly in support of this.
Okay.
You know, before we made this change, we did get with our PBA. And they voted pretty close to unanimously to go ahead and move forward with this. So my understanding is there's a lot of support for this all the way up and down the chain of command.
Well, obviously that's a good thing. So the other thing I was going to ask you about, since you and I last spoke on Monday, you had mentioned that you would have an announcement in the one case of the missing young boy, the 14-year-old. Obviously, you had that big announcement last Tuesday, I think it was. But I knew in that case you guys were looking for another suspect. Have you arrested this second suspect yet?
As of right now, Mr. Daniels has not been arrested. We still have people to include U.S. Marshals looking for him. So I feel pretty comfortable that it's just a matter of time now. But as of right now, he's not in custody.
And I have to assume, but I also have to ask in case I'm wrong about this, that because he hasn't been arrested yet, the subsequent kinds of details that you know we want to know about the case, you don't want to release those until he's in custody. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's correct. You okay. know, anytime we have a case like this, there's certainly going to be some details that, until it goes to trial, just aren't going to be public. And I think you understand that the point behind that is we don't want anything that will jeopardize a potential prosecution. But certainly while we have a suspect out on the run, you know, we want to keep the details pretty tight-lipped.
Yeah, and I don't mind that. I mean, I always want to know. The public wants to know, but I, you know, your job is law enforcement first, not explaining things to me. That's second by far. 8:16 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Shane Tucker, he's the chief deputy at the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Chief, thanks so much for the time. Thanks for what you do. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Andrew. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely.
This week, comments on our story about disparities in the distribution of COVID-19 vaccine in Palm Beach County, Florida. Viewers focused on an exchange with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis at a press conference. Some viewers, including a retired newsman, applauded the story. Ron DeSantis will continue to deny, refute, call your reporting a witch hunt. I can only hope that you continue to investigate and expose the truth.
So 60 Minutes, 59 minutes into 60 Minutes, they decided to run a bit where they were taking listener response on their hack job butcher story against Governor DeSantis and vaccine distribution. And their lead response was, "This former newsman supports us completely." And then...
But many more comments condemned our editing and reporting.
By the way, how many more was what I would be curious to know. Like, did you get one support email and like 1,000 others? I just don't know. They didn't say.
Shameful biased reporting. That is what you're guilty of. You are no longer journalists, but lobbyists and advocates. Then there was this. I've watched 60 Minutes for decades. After your biased piece on Governor DeSantis, I will only watch it one more time, just to see if you broadcast this message.
Well, success. I guess he got his email right on the air, so, you know, that's a bit of a win. You'll notice, A, no retraction or apology, and B, also no adamant defense either. You know? No CBS stands by the story. I mean, I suppose it's implied if they're not going to make an apology of any kind. 8:23 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Half those between the ages of 50 and 64 in the U.S. have now gotten at least one coronavirus vaccine.
The U.S. setting a new record, 4.6 million shots in arms on Saturday. More than one in four adults now fully vaccinated. But with the more contagious U.K. variant spreading, some hospitals are again stretched thin.
That's NBC's Alice Barr. Overall, the CDC says more than 114 million Americans have had at least one dose. District leaders continuing their push for D.C. statehood this week. Mayor Muriel Bowser says it's time for the change. A House committee marks up and votes on the statehood bill Wednesday. Full House vote could happen as early as next week. NASA has delayed its Mars helicopter. Actually, it's kind of delayed itself. First flight was set to take its last major test today, but the rotor blades abruptly stopped working. Something fairly important.
It's mildly irrelevant to the aerodynamics design of the helicopter. Yeah,
the whole experiment meant to prove that rotorcraft technology can work on Mars.
So far, so bad.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, you know, that's why you run tests.
That's,
you know,
right.
And if it doesn't work, then it's a question of whether it doesn't work because it's Mars or it doesn't work because part number 7? Oh, hate these small instructions.
Somebody standing down there at mission control with his screw in their hand going, what does this go to?
Exactly. Oh, total side note. Speaking of, so we put a trampoline in. We put a trampoline in the backyard.
So you're the cool house.
I am. We are the cool house. Yeah, for sure. Oh, my God. I'd seen online people were like, 3 hours. Yeah, 10 hours by me, 5 hours by my wife. Well, now that's partially because we don't have level ground, but still. Oh, my God, it's finally done. But can I just say this? This booklet, this, I don't know, manufactured in China, I don't remember, but I think it was. It's like 8 pages, seriously, of, you know, do not use this if you've recently broken your arm. Do not use this while smoking a cigarette. Do not use this while fighting a shark. I mean, it's like 1,000 lines of what you should not have done or do on this trampoline. And 2 pages of pictures of how to do the entire instructions of assembly. I don't know how many times we look at this and are like, what's that picture showing me? I don't know. It's terrible. This is my one moment. I'm going to say it. Engineers, you people need help. I love you. You're essential. But you got to learn to speak the language and draw the diagrams and explain. Give me some words. I don't need to be told repeatedly, don't do a backflip on the trampoline and then get one picture of the most crucial element of the assembly that I'm trying to decode with a magnifying glass. No, man. No, sir. Or ma'am. 825 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Oh, lucky, by the way, we assembled it Saturday, started assembling it on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then the storms. Whew.
Oh, man.
Trampolines in the storm are not good.
Yeah, they tend to fly away.
Exactly. Davis Allen, time for traffic on the fives.
Oh, man, just imagine you spend all that time putting a trampoline together and then it gets flown away. Oh,
didn't
no.
even occur to me till after the storm. No. I'm like, I should have thought of that earlier. Well,
didn't happen. Thank goodness there.
Come on, testify. Did I not do the jump and the windmill?
Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I'm not Pete Townsend, thank goodness, but I can still do it. 829 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Somebody texted in and said, our neighbor's trampoline f***ed a flying saucer and took out their new post-Sally fence in the storms this weekend. Ooh, yeah, bummer. You saw Emerald Republic. They got their rip roofed off. Twice I've done it. Their roof ripped off. The fencing at Roger Scott, one of the fences along the tennis courts, the hard courts, was blown down. They're repairing it. I don't think it's going to be a big deal. But, yeah, a lot of people, A, had wind damage, were power out, but it was fixed quickly. And the rest of us were kind of thanking our lucky stars that we didn't lose things like our trampoline. What do you got coming up, Mark?
A handicapped man on a scooter hit and killed overnight. Your money now. The stock market's open. The Dow starting the day down 30 points at 33,772. The Nasdaq's down 42 at 13,858. The S&P also down about 2.5 points at 4,126. Just days after a vote for a union failed at the Amazon Fulfillment Center in Alabama last week, supporters regrouped for another rally yesterday in Birmingham, vowing the fight to unionize is not over. Some pro-union attendees claimed Amazon intimidated employees. President Biden meeting with a group of bipartisan lawmakers today on his $2 trillion infrastructure plan. The proposal aims to fix roads and bridges, support electric vehicles and clean energy, and boost pay to caregivers. FEMA offering to help pay funeral expenses for those who've died from COVID-19. Starting today, FEMA taking applications for a program that offers as much as $9,000 to cover funeral expenses. Our next news at 9 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, Davis, I want you to prepare yourself. We've got a live controversy here today that we're going to settle.
Ooh, okay.
All right.
Let's do this.
So the background to today's frivolous topic, my stepdad, who lives outside of Nashville, he texted me this morning. He says, today, Tennessee, the legislature, is going to vote to make the state tool, to designate the state tool as the ladder. And he says, it's a great day for Tennessee. I was looking at some of this stuff here. And, you know, honestly, it is very hard to figure out if any other states even have an official state tool, frankly, because you look up like state and tool and you just don't find the information you need. I have not yet figured out a successful way to search for this. But they were, you know, they've been having this debate. And it's kind of funny. One of the commentators in one of the local papers up there, he was talking about alternatives. And, you know, he was talking about, well, look, the hammer's too violent. The saw is too divisive. The wrench is too wrenching. The pliers are bipartisan. You know, it's kind of funny. It's a little bit funny. But there's a deeper question. The deeper question is this. Is a ladder a tool? 437-1620, 437-1620, is a ladder a tool? Davis, you want to weigh in on this? Because I have a very definite view about this. Is the ladder a tool? Does it even qualify in the category?
That's a great question. It's a good thinker.
This is a good fight with your friends kind of question. 437-1620.
I can't put a nail in the wall without a hammer. But let's say it's elevated. I can't reach that spot to put in the nail with my hammer without having my trusty tool of a ladder.
Oh.
So
you're one of those.
I think a ladder is a tool.
No,
as
sir.
A matter of fact, I think it is a tool.
No, sir.
You can't call it furniture.
It's a ladder. A ladder's not a tool. Because here's how you know. Davis, do you have a toolbox?
I do have a toolbox.
Is there a ladder in it?
No.
See?
437-1620. My drill isn't in my toolbox.
Then you need a better toolbox. 437-1620. 437-1620. Is the ladder a tool? My answer is no. No, ladder's not a tool. Let's see, we got somebody here says Florida has the orange traffic barrel for its state tool. No, that's true. Somebody here says it's a tool, of course. That is not an answer. That does not persuade me. It is not a tool. Even the vaunted writer Joe Rogers at the Ledger writes, I don't know about you, but when I think of tool, a ladder is not the first thing that leaps to mind. Oh, it's something you buy at a hardware store. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, you also buy at a hardware store charcoal grill. Is that a tool? You buy a nail. Is a nail a tool? Is a slab of, you know, drywall a tool? No. Neither is a ladder. A ladder might help. A ladder might assist, but a ladder is not a tool. 437-1620. Or do you side with Davis, who everything's a tool just because it helps me? So is your shoe a tool?
Tools for my feet.
Stop it. Stop it. Now you're just trying too hard. So let me give you the definition of a tool. You ready? 437-1620. The actual definition of a tool. A device or implement. Okay, so far so good. Device or implement, especially one held in the hand, used to carry out a particular function. So it is particularly things that are about handheld that are tools. For example, you know, carpenters often have what? A belt.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a?
The tool belt.
Tool belt. Mm-hmm. How many ladders on a tool belt for a carpenter?
Well, unless you want to really make things complicated. Wait, hold on now. You say held in the hand. How do you move a ladder? You don't kick it.
Do you carry it? Do you use it as a handheld device?
No.
Transportation is not use, Davis.
Open it up, and then you climb it.
I understand how to use it. I'm just saying, you don't use it in a handheld manner, do you? 4376. This is the kind of stuff philosophers love. Let's see, where are we at here? What about a table saw? I can't fit that in my toolbox. Yeah, it's an oversized tool. What's the undersized version of the ladder that you're comfortable calling the tool? It's a device. Yeah, I like that. It's a device. If you Google it, the ladder is a tool. Well, Google does not solve anything for me. I mean, unless you trust the evil empire for the source of your truth. Ladder. Definition of somebody texted me the picture here. A structure for climbing up or down that consists essentially of two long side pieces. That one doesn't help. Something that represents or suggests a ladder in former use. That one doesn't help. A series of usually ascending steps or stages. That doesn't help. And the person says, well, I stand corrected. It's not described as a tool. See?
Look, ladder, you can't believe everything Andrew McKay says, okay?
Wait, what? Look, someone here says, look up the definition of a ladder. Case closed. Yeah, this did. Tool not in there. It helps you move up in the world. Okay, now we got just extraneous comments. Let's see. Somebody said, oh, okay. So now somebody says, well, it may not go in a toolbox and it may not go in a tool belt, but it does go in a tool shed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got you there.
So does an old sofa. I mean, anything can go in a tool shed. I'm not, that just doesn't qualify for me. 4-3-7-16-20. So the matter is going to be voted on, I guess, today in Tennessee. They're going to make something that that's not a tool, their state tool, which is unique in and of itself. 4-3. See, have fun with people today. Ask them, you know what's going to happen. You ask somebody this question, and they're either going to be like, boy, you're just the kind of person that asks that kind of question. Or they're going to just look at you like, what is the fun way to go? Oh, yeah, somebody else goes into. Okay, fine. Where we got here? The saw is a tool, but not a hand tool. A ladder is a piece of equipment, not a tool. All right, I like that piece of equipment. That sounds extravagant when you say it that way.
I read in today's paper that we know what we're going to do, which is, I guess, aim towards a day center. And I read in the paper that we as a city went and investigated what would be the best way to do this and looked at it from a holistic standpoint. I have to say, I never spoke with the city about anything.
Oh, man. No. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but city council meeting, I finally got around listening to it on Saturday, and God, stop. Just, I'm on his side. There's Michael Kimbrell, okay, who runs the Washburn Center and also oversees Sean's Outpost, and I... How can you come to a decision about what to do with homelessness in a day center in this area and you don't ask Mike Kimbrell? Oh, man, that's bad. That's bad. Look, if somebody said, Andrew, you need to do a show on homelessness and, you know, how to improve it, there are a lot of different people I could talk to, okay? Lots of different people who, you know, especially people who work at official agencies that are all good resources. But I would not dream of doing it without also doing an interview with Mike Kimbrell. And he'd be kind of my first person. We've had him on many times to talk about these issues because he very much gives he'll tell you the truth, okay? There's no shading of it. I've never known him to misrepresent anything. And, you know, he may not see things my way, but he's very much in tune with what's going on with homelessness in Pensacola, maybe at least as much so as anybody, okay? So the idea that, you know, we decide what we were going to do with regards to a day center project and you wouldn't talk. Oh, no. Come on now. And the other problem is, like, you know, he doesn't charge anything. He, you know, we're paying Marbot like 30 grand again. Haven't even done what he said to do the first time.
Then I read that we are hiring Dr. Robert Marbot again for an additional $30,000. When he was here just a couple of months ago and seemed kind of aggravated that we were asking him to talk about his seven-year-old report when we have less shelter beds than we had when he gave the report saying we needed more shelter beds.
Why would you pay the man again to come in to tell you to do what you already didn't do? And by the way, Mike Kimbrell, who's, you know, again, I probably agree with like 4% of the things that Mike is going to say. But I think he's a serious guy. He has good ideas and he certainly has his heart in the right place. And, you know, the cost for his advice.
I have always come to y'all offering to give my expertise free of charge. Yeah, and it hasn't been looked at. I know I rub people the wrong way, but I try to be respectful. I don't expect people to agree with all of my ideas. But I don't think you can say holistic without talking to everybody. The good, the bad, the ugly, warts and all.
Yeah, I mean, have them in the meetings. Whatever meetings you're having, have them in there. This is disappointing. Just be honest. And it's not like because he's so important that he's... No, but because you want to make sure to get that perspective. You know, and he may see it a different way. That's okay. That's the reason, right? Diversity of viewpoint. This is very, very, very disappointing to hear. 8:51 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Meanwhile, one of the other things that came up at the city council meeting repeatedly was that a local mainstay in very, very local politics, a wonderful, wonderful woman, Dottie Dubison, has passed away. And I cannot say that she was a close friend of mine, but she was that kind of person that, like, I knew her somewhat and would always smile and have a nice word and always give you a hug. I mean, just that kind of a person. Even if she was telling you that you were crazy for what you were thinking about doing, it was always that kind of sweet criticism, you know what I mean? And Sherry Myers, everybody talks that exact same way about her, and rightly so at the city council meeting.
I just love Dottie Dubesant and what she stands for and her commitment to transparency in government and accountability in government and her compassion for people and justice. And I really felt like she was a kindred spirit.
And, I mean, these are the kind of people that, you know, they're not paid. Okay, I get paid to watch meetings. I mean, I don't get paid to. I get paid to talk on the radio, and I consider it part of that preparation to watch these meetings. Okay, so when I'm watching a meeting, I'm watching it because I have a job. She's not watching a meeting because she's got a job. She's watching a meeting. She's participating in a local discussion, you know, a neighborhood group, because she cares. And she's interested, and she's passionate. Those are the kind of people, like, and there are not many of them, who keep the city, keep the county on the rails and watch over it and correct it when it's going astray and make a fuss when something dumb is about to happen. You need people like that. And, you know, there are not that many of them, okay? In any given town, there's only a couple, usually a handful, and she's one of the handful. So very sad thing to have her pass away and certainly, you know, universally admired and adored, even if you disagreed with her. And especially because that's where the praise is meaningful, right? It's easy to like somebody you agree with. If you disagree with them, you still like them. That's kind of something. 8:54 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. So once again, a sad day to have the passing of Dottie Dubesant. Davis Allen, time now for a quick shot of sports.
Matsuyama is Japan's first Masters champion.
Hideki Matsuyama winning the Masters tournament yesterday, becoming Japan's first Masters champion and Japan's first major winner as well. So congratulations to Matsuyama. Shot 10 under par to win it all by one stroke. Will Zalatoris finishing at 9 under par. He's a rookie in the tournament. Did a great job. Also, this happened on Friday, and I certainly didn't want to not mention it. The San Diego Padres got their first no-hitter in franchise history.
Ground ball to shortstop. Kim will go to first. The San Diego Padres get their first no-hitter in the history of the franchise. And it belongs to San Diego's own Joe Musgrove.
Joe Musgrove from San Diego pitches a no-hitter for the San Diego Padres. This is a franchise that's been around for 54 years. Their first ever in franchise history. So congratulations. And another first ever UWF's cheerleading team won their first ever national title. Earlier, I had falsely reported that they were about as old as the football team. That's not true. I completely forgot this, that they had been around also along with the basketball team. So they've been around for a while, but this is their first national title at the NCAA Nationals. So congratulations to the cheerleading team. Certainly a really cool story and another trophy to add to the very large trophy case at UWF. And now taking this into...
How did the Padres go that long? 69.
No hitters?
No, no hitters.
That's crazy.
Yeah, first one.
Wow.
First everything. It took them a long time, but they finally did it. Taking a look at traffic on the fives, we have an accident that occurred on Avalon Boulevard. This is causing northbound delays. And we also received an additional report that along with the light over there right by that Red Roof Inn is flashing, and it's also bent over a little bit due to the collision. So these northbound delays are backed up before you even get to Mary Kitchens Road. My advice... please take it. Go on Garcon Point Road and take that northbound all the way up to I-10. It will save you time. You'll completely avoid that accident if you go that way. Southbound, if you're coming from 90 and heading on down, this is not going to impact you whatsoever. But if you're traveling on I-10 and you're going eastbound and you're wanting to get off on Avalon Boulevard, we're seeing some buildup there as a result of this accident, so keep that in mind. If you're traveling along Gulf Breeze Parkway, eastbound is checking and clear. Westbound still delayed over by the Ascension Sacred Heart Urgent Care Facility. And southbound delays into Gulf Breeze are showing minor delays. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 Future News. Davis and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. City Council approves finally again, I guess, Burgess Road sidewalks construction. Will they actually get built this time?
They will.
They will, yeah. Kudos to Grover and to Sherry Myers for pushing for this for so long. Joe Biden, President Biden, says that he's going to start a commission on Supreme Court reform. I think it's got like 40 people on this thing, 41. Will they change the number of members of the court?
I don't think so.
I also think no. At least I certainly hope they do not change that. Who's going to file next? Sheriff Morgan has filed. Who's going to file next?
D.C. Reeves.
Yeah, D.C. or Lumen May. That's where I've got my money. But I think you might see a bunch of people jump into this race. Matt Gaetz, when will he do his next media interview with local media?
I would give it probably a month.
I'd say 2 weeks. Hopefully sooner, but that's where I think we're headed at the moment. Thanks for listening.